So, what is the purpose of karate?
Strike first, strike hard, no mercy, sir.
No, you've all been brainwashed by Cobra Kai. I want you to clear your minds and think. What is the ultimate lesson we learn from karate?
Don't be a pussy.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
This is House Podcastica, Cobra Kai edition.
Cobra Kai! This week we're covering Cobra Kai Season 2, Episodes 5 and 6. All in and take a right.
Take a right, check it out.
I didn't really understand that take a right one.
Yeah, I didn't get take a right.
What's the title mean?
I get it. Course, because I'm super fan, but it's Tommy when in the Karate Kid, when all the Cobra Kai, their entrance, when they're on their motorcycles and they come up and they, you know, see that Daniel's flirting with Allie on the beach. Uh-huh. It's Tommy who says, "Take a right, check it out." Everybody looks like everybody's doing something new.
Oh, it's catch.
And for the episode, I think it's sort of like, I don't know, maybe this is a stretch, but Johnny sort of goes off on a side mission. So that's like his take a right.
Right.
This show really, I feel like with each show, you could change what you drink during your podcasting, depending on what they have on the show. This is more of a beer show, I would say.
Yeah. The bar scene for sure. Yeah.
Johnny's always got beer for breakfast and stuff.
Good old Coors Light.
Yep. Classic. Okay, let's get into it. So top three highlights for Cobra Kai Season 2, Episodes 5 and 6, All In and Take a Right. So what did you guys think of these ones? Rima, what did you think?
I really liked them. Thought they were really great episodes. I especially enjoyed the second episode, getting to see, Johnny and his
the old gang.
Guy friends. Yeah, kind of all back together again, when we're all getting of a certain age. So it's, you all try to get together, you all kind of do your own things and live your lives and then, try to get together. And of course, this wasn't such a, kind of a sad thing that kind of brought them back together. But, it's kind of nice to have, one last little ride with all of them. So, or most of them anyway, except for Dutch. So that was probably part of like my favorite of the two, but I thought just really good episodes. I think that they're, for me anyway, I think staying pretty strong.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, this show, this whole franchise just fits so perfectly with me because I was a little younger than Daniel, but that's kind of what you do. Like 17 magazine, I guess it was, or what was that big magazine back in the day? It was mostly read by 13-year-olds, so it's kind of like you idolize the ones that are just a little bit ahead of you. But anyways, so then now we're like, I'm an old dad, and I get to watch all these old dads go ride motorcycles, and it's like ride along with them, kind of.
Yeah, you're like, yeah,
yeah, do it, bar fight, kick ass.
B20 again.
What about you, Rich? What did you think of these ones?
Yeah, I got the feeling that it was shit's getting serious. I mean, like the old friendships are starting to split apart. The gray line between the two dojos is pretty black and white now. I mean, it's like something's gonna go down here in the next few episodes, I think.
Yeah, sides are sort of readying for a conflict.
Yeah, Kreese, he keeps tightening his hold, and then Johnny's all lost, and then Daniel's getting pissed, and so, oh man, something's gonna go down.
Kreese is basically the Satan of this show, just whispering in people's ear to make them screw things up.
Right.
I really like these, and I'm liking the show more the second time around. I thought before Season 2 wasn't as good, but I don't know. maybe it's because my expectations were lowered, which always helps me like something better. Or I also think it's just doing the podcast helps, just kind of taking a deeper look at something helps you appreciate it more. But I'm liking it. I think it's great.
Yeah, I felt the same way, actually.
And also, we watched Karate Kid 3. Like, that makes anything else better.
Everything else shines after watching Karate Kid 3.
I think for me, a big part of it was binge watching it. Because I remember the first time I watched through season 2, I like just one episode after the other, all in one night, too. So
it's better to take a little time with it.
Yeah, you start to see patterns, you know, and there's some repetitiveness and stuff. And you're like, oh, that's kind of the same thing. But when you take a break, and then when you talk about it, it totally helps.
Yeah. I noticed that, I didn't never notice this before, but every pair of episodes is directed by the same person, and that's how we're podcasting on them. So that might help with some cohesiveness covering two at once, you know, they feel like they're of a pair. That's kind of neat. And usually they're written by the same people too, not always, but usually. So there, you almost feel like each pair of episodes can have little arcs in within them.
It does. I mean, they fit together like puzzle pieces.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and really quick. Now that we're at the time that we're recording this, Cobra Kai has now been released on Netflix, and that has really, I think, brought a resurgence. I mean, I've already been excited about covering it because I really enjoy the show and dig it, and of course, really enjoy podcasting with you guys on it. That's always exciting. But kind of seeing everyone else's excitement now that they've waited, you know, they didn't see it before. Now it's on Netflix. It's been pretty exciting. It's been like number one on Netflix.
Yeah.
For a while.
They're all saying the same thing too. They're like, hey, that's a lot better than I thought it would be.
Yeah. Like, I know. I've been telling you for 2 years.
It's a different experience for us. Cause we're like feeling like we're, like, hey, everybody, check this out. And now it's like the topic of the moment. That's so weird with podcasting. Usually we start podcasting on something when it premieres, and so we're talking about it when everybody else is. But now it feels like we started talking about it, and then everybody else is now joining in. It's just a different kind of experience. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Rima said, I know. Hello.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I posted about it on my main Facebook feed or whatever. I don't usually put podcasting stuff on there, but I was like, yeah, what the hell? So I put, hey, if you haven't seen Cobra Kai, it's a great pick me up. And two people posted, it's got such horrible acting. And I was like, wow, that's the only negative thing I've ever heard. And two people in a row. So I just hid both comments to kind of try to, you know, don't harsh the vibe. Come on.
Yeah, I don't think it's got bad acting.
Staying positive here. No,
I mean, here and there, but overall, I think it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's and especially from folks you don't always expect it to be, like William Zabka has really been bringing it.
He's,
I mean,
great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dan, I mean, I think Ralph Macchio is good. But you know, whether you think he's great or not, I don't think you could say he's bad. I don't know.
No.
Anyway.
No, okay. it's great.
Let's do our top three. Remo, what you got for number three?
My number three is Cobra Kai Never Dies. And this, like I said, when you first asked me what I thought about these episodes, my favorite part was seeing Johnny and his friends get together again. And of course, it was for a really sad reason. It was really sad to see Tommy sick, you know, with an illness, and he's in hospice. And, you know, but it was fun to see all of them together and kind of rallying around him. And I love the idea that they had to, like, check him out for 24 hours and kind of give him, you know, like, we don't want him to like be here. Let's give him one more ride and, you know, something to remember. And, you know, I mean, what can it hurt? I mean, the poor guy is dying anyway. So, you know,
and it's pretty funny. They're all like, let's give him a night to remember. And Johnny's like, I don't know, in his condition. And then you hear me, like, his
and then the curtain flies,
and he's like taking off his electrode. Let's go.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So it was cool to see how they've all kind of, you know, grown and how they've changed. And it seems like many of them have really, like, moved on and, like, kind of really grown up. And Johnny, who's still kind of stuck, you know, in the 80s, right, kind of stuck in the past. And, you know, some of them are married. You know, one of them's a pastor. You know, it was just, you know, kind of interesting dynamic. And, of course, to then hear the news when they hear that he's not only opened a karate dojo, but he's named it Cobra Kai, and that Kreese was back. And I, you know, really thought it was interesting to see, you know, the looks on their faces when they're like, what? You know, you brought that back.
Yeah. And somebody mentions, oh, that no mercy bullshit.
Right.
Yeah. Clearly that definitely left a bad taste in their mouth. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, really did question Johnny about having Kreese back. And, you know, he's, again, still sticking to like, well, you know, everybody deserves a second chance. And, you know, I think we've kind of seen that a little bit where he's kind of given him the benefit of the doubt and clearly, you know, giving him the benefit of the doubt, leaving him in charge of his dojo, you know, while he's gone. And then, yeah, which is the wrong thing to do.
It's a nice, noble idea, but it's what is the show trying to teach us?
No, but
don't change. Don't trust anyone.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed all of that. I know it was really sad, of course, when you know, we lost Tommy. And, you know, he, of course, he's famous for the line in The Karate Kid at the tournament, you know, saying, you know, put him in a body bag, yeah. And then what do they do in the show? They put him in a body bag.
Yeah, they put him in a
freaking
body
dark
bag.
Dude.
I know.
And you know what that says to me is that I didn't even notice that when I first watched this, and one of the listeners pointed out, I was like, holy shit, because it's not a moment played for laughs at all, but
no,
right,
it's kind of funny. I mean, I guess you could consider it poetic irony or something, but oh shoot, what was I gonna say about that? Oh, I really, you know, like every time you see Ralph Macchio in an interview, he talks about how the showrunners just are the hugest Karate Kid fans and they know way more about it than he even does. And you can tell because they name the episodes after individual lines and they just, you know, it's clear they know every detail. And yeah. I really feel like maybe one of the main reasons they even brought these guys back and had this whole storyline was just so they could have that moment at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
Because totally. Of that line. And here's the line, by the way.
Get him a body bag! Yeah!
And that line always stood out to me. Get him a body bag! You could walk around saying that.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So he got his body bag.
Yeah, so if I may add to that, that's also one of my highlights was Johnny's friends, Bobby, Tommy, and Jimmy. And what they say about Dutch, he was in prison, right?
He's in prison.
Serving like, what was it, like life or something like that?
They said something about it was supposed to be 5 to 10, but it's actually 10 to 20 or something like that. I didn't really get that.
Yeah, but one of my favorite parts too is how Johnny's friends didn't even know that Johnny was bringing back Cobra Kai. And when he told them there in the bar, they were like surprised and horrified when Johnny told them. And they were just like making these faces like, what? What the hell are you doing, dude?
Right.
It made Johnny's world seem like just a little sadder and a little bit smaller, you know? Like, poor Johnny.
He's like, I'm trying to change it.
They had the timely bar fight, which was pretty cool. Once again, we get to see Johnny kick ass.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And then Bobby was a pastor. Was Bobby a pastor or a preacher?
Yeah, pastor.
Pastor.
Yep. The first thing I saw when he kicked that guy was a scene from, from that movie that to Peter Jackson, one of his first horror films. He had
Dead
a pastor
Alive.
In there. Dead Alive. Yeah. And he comes out and starts kicking butt with all the zombies. He's like, I kick ass for the Lord. That was hilarious. And then Tommy, the guy who played Tommy, Rob Garrison, he did a really good job acting with Johnny when they were at the campground.
Yeah.
They were talking about old times. Then, of course, mm-hmm. Allie makes her way into the conversation once again.
Always.
But then my wife, Lucy, told me that he passed away, like, just a few months after filming, for real.
Yep.
He did.
So, yeah, late liver
last year.
Maybe
problems
he wasn't really
or something.
Acting, you know?
I wondered about that. Like, did they give him that storyline because he was sick? But I don't think so. I think it was just a coincidence.
Yeah. I've enjoyed the scene too, Rima. I found that whole thing was comforting. And like, you know, like you said, Jay, it's good to see them all turning out pretty normal.
Yeah.
They're just regular guys now. Knowing, you know, that they didn't turn out so bad was a good feeling. Except for Johnny.
Yeah.
I mean, and Dutch. And that's what happens, you know, like you go back to your high school reunion and you know, I've mentioned this before, this one guy's apologizing for being such an asshole in high school. And it's also the Cobra Kai treatment that it humanizes these characters who were just the bad guys in the movies. So it's cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of leaps to make.
It was interesting that because Dutch in the movie, he was probably the biggest asshole. He was the one who in the locker room was like, come on, make a move. And, Bobby was the one who went when they had their skeleton costumes on and he was like, come on, Johnny, he's had enough. You know, he was trying to help him. Then in the tournament, though, he's the one who kicked him really hard and hurt his leg. But that was after Kreese told him to. Right. So
He's like, I can beat him, Sensei.
Yeah, come on, don't make you do this. But Dutch was the biggest jerk, and then I think Tommy was kind of a jerk too. Jimmy is he's the one that was on the phone with his wife. He was sort of in the background the whole time, and I read he was the only brown belt. I guess they were all black belts except for him, and I don't think we even saw him fight Daniel, or if we did, it was really quick. But Daniel actually beat Jimmy and Tommy and Dutch in the tournament. And then Bobby got disqualified for kicking him. And then he beat Johnny. So he kind of beat all of them except for Bobby.
And the only one who still has a problem with that is Johnny.
Johnny's, the only one stuck in time. They all kind of moved on. But Dutch, I mean, that's what I was going to say, is maybe that's also kind of poetic justice that he's the one who's in prison because he was the one who was just kind of the most like aggressive and dickish back then.
Well, and I read that they did offer him the role, like to come back, and I guess he turned it down.
I think he would have done it, but he had some kind of a race... Oh, what was it?
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's a race car driver now, huh?
Yeah. Hold on. It says, attempts were made to arrange a reprisal of the character Dutch in season 2, but commitments to his company, McQueen Racing, prevented this. So
he's the son of Steve McQueen, huh?
Yeah, it's like to be Steve McQueen's son, huh?
Yeah. I forgot all about that, yeah. So maybe he'll be there, you know, maybe he'll get out of prison or something. Who knows?
Early parole.
Yeah.
Coronavirus release.
Okay. My turn Rich, you got more?
No, that was good. That was it. The Johnny's friends thing was cool.
Yeah. That was pretty much mine too. Return of the OG Cobra Kai. I always thought it was funny that their names are Johnny, Tommy, Jimmy, Bobby, and Dutch. It's like a boy band or something.
Yeah.
Let's see. So Tommy, it was, Rob Garrison, and he died from kidney and liver issues just a few months after. That was his last performance. And the producers after his death said that he was potentially going to be in season 3. I don't know how he died in the show, like a ghost. I don't know. I thought that was weird.
Maybe a flashback or something.
Yeah.
Maybe old scenes,
but it wouldn't have been too, far back. Cause I mean, of all those guys, he was the one that I would not have been able to identify. The rest of them, you could kind of see they looked
a
similar,
little bit, yeah,
but not him for me. Anyway, he looked way different.
He did.
Then let's see. I liked when they rode their motorcycles. They played the same song that they played in the movie when they first showed up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll play a little bit of it here. Nostalgic bit there.
This, you know, every episode.
Something from He-Man.
Oh God, talk about a good show. You know, every episode is full of 80s music and nostalgia, but this one felt like a lot more, which I was fine with. But
yeah,
it was very 80s filled.
Yeah.
Sure.
We learned that he was in love with Allie, but Johnny struck first, and that's why he joined Cobra Kai, because he wanted to have the same balls that Johnny had. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy, that's Tony Odell, he was in the sitcom Head of the Class with Howard Hessman, who was Johnny Fever on WKRP. Did you guys watch that show, Head of the Class?
I loved Head of the Class. Yeah.
I've seen some of it.
I didn't know he was, whenever I saw that he was the, I can't remember the character name, but he was the preppy one in class.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I used to watch that all the time.
Yeah, me too. I love that show. I remember Arvid was the nerd. I think that was his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked WKRP in Cincinnati too.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
Watch that one a lot.
Classic.
Yeah, so good. He was also, Tony Odell was in a show called Otherworld that was about this family who was traveling, like touring the Egyptian pyramids, and they got transported to this alternate dystopian version of Earth. And it was like a family, kind of like Lost in Space, but on Earth. It was cool, but it only ran 8 episodes. I was kind of bummed.
Mm.
But anyways, Bobby, who's for some reason they gave him the name Bobby Brown, is Ron Thomas. And yeah, he's a pastor. I already talked about him. Dutch is in Lompoc Federal Penitentiary. And they talked about how he'd smashed a dartboard, and that was the first time he went to juvie. So I guess he had a big troubled past. They had also talked about how he was throwing milk duds at, like, him and Johnny went to see Rocky III, and Dutch was throwing milk duds at the girls, and Allie turned around and yelled at him, and that's when Johnny met her, I guess, and fell in love.
Strike first. It was cool that when they were on the motorcycles, you know, starting them up and getting ready to go, they all one by one looked over at Johnny to get the go ahead and start riding. I was Johnny.
Yeah.
And then you find out Johnny's kind of a loser.
They still look up to him, though. And I liked when he had that heart to heart with Tommy, and Tommy said, you know, just do what you want to do. And he said, well, all I want to do right now is make sure my students don't make the same mistakes I did. And then Tommy said, you'll do it. You're the champion. That was just a really nice moment. I mean, this show is so good at having moments that could easily be cheesy, and I just totally get caught up in them. That was one of them.
Totally.
Yeah, that was a touching moment at the campground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A few more. This is also, this point of mine is just about like callbacks and stuff like that. So we find out how Allie and Johnny broke up. He got drunk and missed her birthday and she dumped him. And then he just reiterates that he never got over her, which that's pretty clear. It's been pretty clear.
Yeah.
And then the thing that Hawk did, you know, vandalizing, that's also goes along with these showrunners revering this franchise so much that this kid is defacing the sacred artifacts of the Karate Kid franchise, breaking the Medal of Honor case and stealing the medal. Painting Cobra Kai Never Dies on Daniel's beloved car that he got for his 16th birthday from Miyagi. That's like one of the worst sins you could make on this show, you know?
That's pretty low, man.
Yeah. What else? This is just a little one, but that guy Chris, who defected from Cobra Kai and went over to Miyagi-Do, he said, Dimitri called me an imbecile and I told him he can't just drop a challenge and leave. That phrase is what Kreese said to Miyagi when Miyagi took Daniel over to the Cobra Kai dojo. You don't come in here, drop a challenge, and leave, old man.
Nice. Well, there's a lot of recycling going on, huh?
There is, yeah. And then the last thing I have in this one is just, we talked about it before, and I was like, when did this happen? I thought we had already seen it, but as I'm watching, I'm like, nope. This is where Daniel mentions that he used to be a Cobra Kai and just tells the whole story of Karate Kid 3, basically.
Yeah.
Makes so much more sense now that I've seen the right. third movie. Because before I had never seen it. And I remember watching Cobra Kai, you know, when it was airing. And I was like, what? When when was that? What the hell? And I feel like I was okay, I guess, not watching it. But it definitely feels a little bit more richer. You know,
yeah,
it's cool having seen it now. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what they did? Like somebody, I saw one of our listeners from Walking Dead cast was like, yeah, I want to watch Cobra Kai, but I want to watch the Karate Kid movies first. And they just took them off Netflix. I'm like, why would you take
Yeah.
The movie's off Netflix right when Cobra Kai comes on. It must be some, you know, wheeling dealing kind of a thing, but that's, I thought that was such a bummer.
I bet right. It was some type of marketing temporary license thing, because they knew that yeah. Cobra Kai, the series, was moving, and they thought, how perfect would it be to have the movies to kind of jazz people up?
They can only afford 1 month or something.
Maybe, yeah. But I know that they're yeah. moving. I read they're moving them to Showtime. So I guess if you have a Showtime subscription, you can watch them on Showtime.
Yeah. Netflix, I don't know about Netflix, man. I'm worried about their future, because now that other distributors and shows are coming online with other companies, you know, like so CBS has got their thing, HBO, Showtime,
so
you name it,
Cinemax. So many streaming services.
Yeah, everyone's fighting for content now.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, that was a bit of a bummer. I'm glad I watched that third one when I could.
Right.
Hey, one other callback, though. You were talking about callbacks. One small one that I thought of when Johnny and the boys were getting ready to ride off on their motorcycles. Did you see their face masks they pulled up when they were getting ready to take off on their motorcycles? Like skulls?
I didn't notice.
Yeah.
Oh, like kind of like the costumes.
Yeah. I'm assuming, and I'm taking it as a callback to their skeleton costumes. And it was, I thought, you know, super cool, because that was kind of their thing when they were teenagers. Yeah. And
right.
carrying that on into an adult way.
Badass.
Yeah. So
pretty timely that they're all wearing masks too now.
Yeah. Hey. Before it was
when they
cool.
had their bar fight, there was some song, the fight song by, I forget who it was by, but I'd never heard it, but it was total 80s hair metal music, like you would think they would love to have a bar fight too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That just gets you going. That just makes you want to fight.
Guitars and synthesizers.
Okay, Rima, what's your number two?
My number two, Dimitri. this kid, this episode, so freaking annoying. And I like Dimitri. I liked him in season one, and I liked him a lot up until this point in this episode. Was really making me crazy. I just wanted him to shut the heck up. And I think, and I'm curious to know what you guys think, or if you feel that same way, is maybe too much of a character sometimes is too much.
My note here is just about everything Dimitri does is annoying and not fun.
Yeah. Like, he's always been kind of he's been okay and fine. I haven't hated him, but he's always had a little bit of an annoying quality, but in small doses, it was okay. But now that he was like in this full episode and it's like constant Dimitri, I felt like I was Daniel in that episode. Like, dude. What are you doing here? Do you even want to learn karate? You know, he's getting a note from his mom, you know, and he doesn't, you know, he totally... you know, breaks down the whole painting the fence. Like, I get it. I know what you want me to do. You want me to, you know, it's muscle memory. And it's like, you're taking all the fun out of this whole teaching.
Right.
Just do what he says and stop skipping ahead.
His note from his mom is excusing him from any extensive arm and leg movements
right.
in a karate yeah. class.
So
Daniel's got a lot of patience.
Yeah.
Oh, heck right. of a lot more patience than what I would. This is why I could never work with kids. It's just too much. I wouldn't have the patience for sure. But I do like him, and I think that he had some good moments in this episode. But for me, it was slightly too much. And you know, I don't know. I guess we'll see what the other episodes have. But I just thought, what are you doing here? I got really frustrated with him, yeah. you know, like Daniel did.
Yeah.
So
I think that's one of the reasons why I didn't like this season as much, because of him. Sorry, any Dimitri fans who are listening, but this time it was kind of fun just to write down all of the things he did that I thought were lame that I'm going to say in my next point. So maybe I was just kind of trying to enjoy it more this time. I don't know, but I totally agree with you.
Yeah, me too. In fact, that's one of my highlights too, is not so much specifically Dimitri, but the whole subplot of Hawk and Dimitri. I was thinking that brings up a pretty interesting subject for debate, right? Because is it better, you know, they opened the second episode that we watched here with, you know, a flashback to what Hawk was like before he was Hawk.
Yeah.
So is it better, do you think, being a badass alpha jerk than a loser? I mean, on Hawk's...
Look, you need to find on Hawk's ground.
On Hawk's side of things, he gets the girl, but then he loses her because he's being a jerk. But, you know, other people have ceased making fun of him, so there's a plus. On Dimitri's side of things, he can't defend himself worth crap. He can't wax on, and he can barely wax off. And he ends up in emotional despair, right? Concerning himself and the girls and the friends, I think. Yeah. As parents, you don't want your kids to be either, because the show obviously deals in extremes. But what if you had to choose? Would you rather have a badass alpha kid or a loser kid?
I mean, I think Dimitri, like he said, you know, hey, before Cobra Kai came to town, at least I had a couple friends, but now they're all karate alpha jerks. Like, he was okay. He was in his clubs and collecting comics and everything. And he had his buddy, but I really think that Eli was really suffering. Like, he was getting bullied and just feeling like total shit about himself. So I think he was in a worse place than Dimitri, and he swung to the opposite extreme. And I don't think either one of those is good or acceptable. Like, I would never want to have to choose for my own kid either one of those positions. I would try to steer them towards some middle ground in the middle there. And sometimes you have to go too far to come back. But I also think the show, as much as it tries to present people as more full and gray area, it also needs a villain. And right now, I mean, they did show that flashback to kind of help us sympathize and understand where Hawk was coming from. But still, he's the villain of the show right now, I would say. Him and Kreese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're becoming best buds.
Right. He's just so angry and bitter and tense all the time, you know, and asshole-ish.
Yeah.
Well, that's my number two is assholes. Because there's a lot of asshole-ish behavior going on from Hawk, from Dimitri, from Daniel. I would say less from Daniel than normal. And Johnny too, less from him, but a little bit, and definitely Kreese. So for Hawk, you know, he's just such a dick to the new recruits, saying, "Hey, asshole twins, grab my bag." And he eats Chris's last mozzarella stick. And then he brings the other Cobra Kai to attack Dimitri in the mall because he wrote a bad Yelp review, and he's just looks so vicious. And then when Moon objects that he beat up Dimitri over that, he says he's a fucking nerd and you'll always be a nerd. And she's like, "I'm not dating a bully," which I like her more and more as the series goes along.
Yeah.
And then she says, "We're done." "No, we're not." Takes off his shirt. "This means forever." Showing the tattoo.
Kids never do that. They like to take off their shirts when they want to fight for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, I think he was
showing the tattoo, but
the tattoo, like, you know, this is like my loyalty or my devotion to you, and yeah, what I did for you. And it's just bad. Never get someone's name tattooed on you ever.
I know.
But what about the kids who don't have tattoos? They still take off their shirts. Weird.
Just mad.
I don't know what to do. All right, undress.
Gotta take off my shirt.
And then his response, I mean, just that whole thing, it's like, dude, you're an asshole. And then he's so mad that she broke up with him that he charges into the dojo and starts beating the crap out of the punching bag. And then Kreese gets him to vandalize the dojo and everything. So it's just worse and worse and worse for this kid. It'll be interesting to see. I have some memories of what happens at the end of the season, but it'll be interesting to see what his arc is going forward.
It sucks to see him turn into someone who used to, I mean, he's now the bully when he was the object of bullying. And now he's turned into that. And I hate seeing that now that he's got a little power, now that people are too scared to pick on him. You know, he's now turned into the exact type of person that, you know, made him what he is.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, I can see how, you know, you were bullied for so long and suddenly you found your power that you might, you know, he doesn't want to go back to, he's so scared to go back to it. That's why anything nerdy that Eli brings up, he's just so, he's so against that. And I just think potentially there's a lot of room for growth for him. And I wouldn't be surprised if the series goes on a couple seasons that he'll chill out.
And I mean, it was good, at least in the one, you know, part to see when they were trying to find out who destroyed Miyagi-Do. And he went up to Crazy. He's like, I think I should tell Sensei Lawrence, you know, that it was me. And, you know, he seemed to, you know, have some regret, but he was still blindly and unfortunately following Crease and listening to him more than following
Satan whispered into his ear.
So I did feel at least, well, yeah, he screwed up really bad in this episode. I mean, he did really bad. But
Hawk,
you know, I saw Hawk he at least thought, well, I should just come clean. That's the right thing to do. I should come clean. And so I think there's a little hope for him. Hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, he's going to go extreme before he comes back. And like, if Crease wasn't there, this season would have gone differently. I mean, he's the next asshole on my list here. He's prompting bad behavior with Johnny, too. Johnny's kind of softened, and Crease is saying, you need to go after your son. Go all in. Do whatever it takes. Which, you know, ends up having Johnny assault this guy, Anoosh.
Yeah, that was not good.
I know. And it's funny how, like, he pushed him up against the car, and then he looks around kind of sheepishly. Anyone see that? Then he punches him.
Yeah. Like, hard in the kidney. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
So that was Johnny's asshole moment. But while Johnny's away here, you know, visiting his friends, Crease totally takes advantage and just teaches the students to be brutal, and can, you know, urges Hawk to go and vandalize and all this stuff. And with Miguel, you know, Miguel argued, like, in the class when Crease wanted Tori, I think, to hit. Was it Tori and Aisha or Tori and somebody? I forget, but he said, you know, hit him again. And Miguel's like, that's not what we do. He already got the point. So then Miguel comes back later and apologizes. And Crease says, Johnny's mixed up, but together we're going to make sure he gets back on track. And Miguel nods and smiles at that. At first I was like, I don't believe Miguel would go over to Crease's side. But then on second watch, I saw, oh yeah, Tori is telling Miguel the same thing that Johnny said last season. The world shows no mercy, so why should we? So she's had this rough life, and this is how she's responded to it. And so that's his new girlfriend. So he's sort of being influenced by her and Crease, and just like, you know, this show is kind of the battle for the souls of these kids. But just when Johnny's starting to kind of go the right way and maybe Miguel might follow, then he's got these other influences pulling him.
Tori said that to Miguel, right? When he was feeling betrayed by Samantha. So
yeah,
good timing.
Yeah. What else? Dimitri. So he, you know, it was kind of, I guess, interesting. Daniel's trying to put him through the same gauntlet that he went through when Miyagi taught him, you know, paint the fence. And Dimitri figures out right away, just show me the move. So he starts showing the blocking moves, and Dimitri's like, I'm not exactly the most flexible, and I have a little trouble maintaining balance. I have disproportionate limbs. and paint the house. Can we at least use a roller? Sand the floor. He gets a splinter. It's a big one. And then
he kept referencing Game of Thrones too. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Game of Thrones references.
Yeah, it's really interesting because when I was watching the show for the first time, and I think it was the second to the last season of Game of Thrones was on, so it was just so huge in the culture. And I'm like watching this show that I expected to be kind of, you know, disposable, not that good. Cobra Kai, I mean, and I'm like, wow, this is really good. In fact, it kind of reminds me of Game of Thrones because all these characters are sometimes you're rooting for them and other times they do the most despicable things, just like in Game of Thrones. And it's really complicated and it goes back and forth, the allegiances and everything. And then they referenced it and I'm like, ah, the creators recognize that too. That's really cool. Then when Daniel shows Dimitri, he's like, show me sand the floor, just like Miyagi did. And then he just lets Daniel kick him. I'm like, that's a first. The technique didn't work there.
Supposed to block it.
The lamest.
Well, I wonder if in that moment that Daniel was regretting all the complaining he did to Miyagi. Because remember in Karate Kid when Miyagi was giving him all those chores and Daniel complained pretty much every single time.
Just like any parent, you want to apologize to your own parent once you have kids.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry. So then he continues to be a dick to that guy, Chris, like trying to show him how he's going to move that stone. You ever heard of a fulcrum? Yeah, I didn't think so. I'm like, dude, you're going to get your ass kicked again. And then, he likes Donnie Darko over Dirty Dancing. So that's one thing that I approve of. But the thing that I really liked with Dimitri and Daniel was when Daniel was like, you know, Dimitri compared himself to Sam Tarly, and he's like, well, didn't he kill a White Walker? Actually this was later though, but Daniel took him aside and he goes, let's try again. And he goes, we'll take it slow. And he goes, show me sand the floor. And he goes, look at my eyes. And they did it really slow. And then Dimitri was blocking. And I'm like, oh man, see, Daniel's great. Sometimes he's just patient and kind, and Dimitri's starting to get it now. And I was pretty moved by that moment.
Yeah.
And then Daniel, barged into Johnny's dojo, and under the mistaken impression that Johnny had something to do with the vandalism, although some of the students did, so wasn't totally wrong. But anyway, he's like, part of me actually felt bad for you at one point, but you make it so easy to remember who the bad guy is in all of this. And that's Daniel's problem, is he's so black and white sometimes and jumping to conclusions. Though Johnny did admit that he did attack Daniel's employee, which is pretty fucked up, but still, yeah. I mean, that's where Daniel can go wrong. He jumps to conclusions and then he's a hothead. And I think the show kind of has to do that to make the story work. Otherwise, if Daniel thought things through and was like, oh, then there would be no drama. But still, it makes it harder to root for Daniel sometimes when he's like that.
That was a super tense confrontation, huh? I felt that way when he was confronting him in the dojo. I was like, oh no, who's going to throw the first punch? And then he literally says, I'm not going to throw the first punch. I'm like, don't!
Right. And then, Johnny probably would have. But he goes, you know, Daniel's like, you know, I'm not going to strike first. And what are you going to do? And Johnny said, I'm going to be the bigger man. And right. He said that because Carmen had told him, you know, you can't, the only way to get over these kind of rivalries is you got to be the bigger man. And so that's why he listened to her. But I'm like, maybe you shouldn't tell the person that's what you're doing. Like, it doesn't necessarily help. But anyway.
Yeah. And so the show goes on.
Yes. Okay, number one.
Oh, is that me? Mm-hmm. I enjoyed, which is a common theme, so it's nothing new that I'm mentioning, but I thought it was kind of brought back to the surface in these two episodes, and that is, who's the bad guy and who's the good guy? And like in life, it's not always black and white. And this show is definitely not black and white. It's pretty gray and kind of goes back and forth a little bit, you know, and people are complex, and that's what makes this show really great. And I think that's a big reason why people, you know, really dig it. I know that's one reason I dig it. It's not just, you know, so easy to kind of figure out. And when Daniel confronts Johnny, like you just mentioned, when he comes to the dojo and he tells Johnny, he's like, you make it easy to see who the bad guy is and all this. But earlier, when Johnny was talking to Miguel, Miguel's mom, sorry, and she, you know, hears Johnny out on his on the story and what, you know, what is going on, she calls Daniel the bad guy.
Yeah. And she's like, what did he do to you in high school? And he just flashes back to all the times he got punched or kicked.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. And it's funny because it's a little colored. It's a little biased. It's his side of the story. And he's probably leaving out a few parts of, you know, where he, you know, beat up Daniel or, you know, sucker punched him and, you know, beat the crap out of him when Daniel was defenseless before he even
almost
knew karate.
Killed him. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, but that's, you know, that's kind of where, you know, that's kind of the whole point of Cobra Kai, or at least a part of it anyway, is getting Johnny's story and how it kind of, you see his side of the story and you kind of see, oh yeah, Daniel's not always perfect and he's not always the great guy. And, you know, they do show these two sides, but they kind of brought it back, I thought, in these two
episodes.
Poured
water on his head. He's like the devil, man. It's so wrong.
Ruined a perfectly good joint, you know? But So I really like that, you know, that we were just kind of seeing that, you know, again, where he's blatantly calling him the bad guy. And I'm like, well, you're being a hothead again. And, you know, you still never copped up to Robbie living with you, that, you know, he still never told Johnny that. And Johnny goes to the apartment, you know, and granted, he's not the greatest dad, but he, you know, he does try.
He's trying,
but, you know,
yeah.
He's, you know, Robbie keeps pushing him away and pushing him away, and yeah. they just can't, they can't seem to meet, you know, neither one of them like seem to get together at a good time, mm-hmm. Or a good point in their lives where they can kind of meet. And so when Johnny goes and, you know, then he confronts him at the car dealership, finds out Robbie's there, and he, you know, kind of brings him back down again. You know, so I still think that's kind of an asshole move from Daniel, that, you know,
yeah,
he was at least,
tell him.
Yeah, at least informed. But so I just love that common theme that, in the
for
show.
Robbie to come around to Johnny, I think he needs to see sustained effort, because Johnny hasn't been in his life, and so Robbie can't just trust him based on one mm-hmm. Overture or whatever, you
absolutely
know.
Right,
and,
yeah.
And it's hard to see that sustained effort when he's living with his father's enemy. You know, they don't have that much chance to be around each other, and when they are, it's probably going to be in a tense situation. But I think Johnny's ready for that. He would love it, you know, if there was some way that he could make it happen, he would. Opportunity, but he would love to if he did have the opportunity, I think.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, anything else on that one?
Oh, for me, nope. That's all I have.
Rich?
Sorry, I'm a little lost. Number three?
Number one, yeah.
Or number one, yeah. The mall scene, dude. Totally.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just watched Bill and Ted. Yeah, that was hella fun to watch. You know, it was like every other movie made in the 80s had some sort of mall scene, mm-hmm. some fashion. And so that was a nice little callback. The fight scene was well choreographed. That was fun to watch. It was fun to see them use Dimitri as like their center balance, defending him, flipping over him and twisting him around to get a little more leverage.
And of course, they got to use this whole thing that they've been practicing, where they kind of mirror each other facing out.
Yeah.
And it's meant so they can fight multiple enemies. Oh, surprise, a situation came up. Just perfect for that. But I agree. I thought it was awesome.
You got to do their little dance.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you get the, you know, the crowd forms. The look on their faces was like part delight and part horror.
Yeah, all these adults were just standing around letting these kids fight in the middle of the
right.
food court.
Just awesome. They're doing yeah. more fighting this season, I feel like. It's cool.
Yeah, and they mm-hmm. run past the security guard who's eating a sandwich and rocking out.
Yeah, the mall cop with his headphones.
Whatever he's doing, right?
It was cool to see Samantha. Have we really seen her fight like that? We've seen her like practice.
Yeah.
But she was kicking ass. That was really
besides
cool.
Just like a random kick here and there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not really. So yeah, cool yeah. to see she's got some of her dad's genes.
Right. She had a nice high kick.
Yeah. Hell, them 50-year-olds had a better
right.
crescent kicks than I did. Jeez, I gotta step up my game. I was like, these old guys are like totally got their leg up higher than I can get mine. Yeah.
CGI, I'm sure. No, I don't know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Sure.
Hey, the only thing missing from that mall scene, Jay, was a like a smooth transition to a Tiffany concert, right? Maybe in the food court. You want to talk about that?
Jay loves telling that story.
No, we weren't at the mall. We were at a restaurant, the Big Yellow House or whatever.
Big Yellow House, yeah.
Yeah, were you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Tiffany came and we were all packed in there, and there's this runway, and I just loved Tiffany back then. I Think We're Alone Now. Me and Richard used to sing it while we were driving around in his truck.
Yeah.
And, anyways, then she got close to me. And so I was reaching over these, like, I was probably like 17 or something. And there was these like 13-year-old girls in front of me, and I was just reaching over her so I could touch her hand. So I touched Tiffany's hand.
And then Jason was like, I'm never going to wash this hand again.
Still haven't washed it to this day. And
gross.
Then Scott, our friend Scott, stole her hubcap and tried to sell it at school. I got Tiffany's hubcap. And then she only sang like two songs, and then they made everybody file out because it was a fire hazard.
Yeah.
That was about
The 80s. That was good times.
Anyway. Okay, my turn?
Yeah.
Okay, I got... this is a cool moments. The mall fight was great. I loved when, you knew Hawk had it out for Dimitri, and Dimitri's at the comic book store, and you see Hawk's red mohawk from behind the comic shelves. It reminded me of Jaws. Like, here he comes.
Yeah, me too.
And then they, Dimitri's like, well, I've been taking karate too. I'm like, you're about to die. And right. Hawk kicks him twice, kicks him hard, and then does a sweep. And then when Dimitri takes off running, they start playing the, underdog karate guy running music from Karate Kid, which is this. Which I love. I mean, I was almost just on the verge of getting goosebumps during that part of it. Just because It reminds me of Karate Kid. And then, just the fight itself was really cool. And yeah, it was just good. Good scene. And then I like that Daniel was proud of them. You know, his daughter's like, are you mad? And he's all, you were protecting someone. That's what karate's about. So that was cool of him. And then, of course, there was the bar fight with the Cobra Kai. That was really cool. We already talked about that. The slow teaching moment with Daniel and Dimitri, I thought was really cool. Even though when Daniel barged into Cobra Kai and he was not right about Johnny's involvement in that, I still liked that moment because it was, in Karate Kid, he goes in there into that dojo and Kreese is there and Johnny, and he's really super intimidated. He's in there a couple of times, the second time with Miyagi. He's scared. That's the enemy's lair. Now he's a grown man. He's got confidence. He just barges in there. Kreese is there and he totally commands the situation. I mean, he's pretty like out of control. So he could have been much more like centered and everything, but still like he's not afraid of anything. And not only that, but he ends up pulling a bunch of his students. So I thought in a way it was pretty badass that he's come this far, that he could do that.
Yeah.
Made me feel good.
Yeah. Really great shot too. When Johnny and Daniel are standing in the middle of the mat there and they're facing each other. And then you've got that shot of Kreese in the background and he's kind of just slightly blurred just a little bit. And it's focusing on Johnny and Daniel, but just that image there of Kreese there in the background. It was just a really, just a great shot altogether.
Totally. So. And he's Daniel's like, let me tell you something about your sensei. He may teach you how to fight, but he doesn't know a thing about what it takes to truly win at life. If you want to help yourselves before it's too late, the doors of Miyagi-Do wide open. And Johnny's like, you think you can come in here and poach my students? And he goes, yeah, what are you going to do about it? So that's pretty good. And then what else was good? I liked that he got Dimitri and Chris working together to get that stone tablet up, and that they got it up, and it was a triumphant moment for the two of them. And even though that's another one that some people might think is corny, I fell for it. I thought it was great.
Give me a fulcrum and a lever and I will move the world.
And then I liked when Daniel was talking about Cobra Kai and his experience with it. And he goes, I fell for it. And I'll admit Cobra Kai makes you feel stronger and tougher, but it's also going to get you in trouble. Just that whole speech he gave about it and talking about Karate Kid 3. I thought that was a great moment.
Yeah. And he asked the students, what is the ultimate message we learned from karate? Don't be a pussy.
He goes, strike first, strike hard. No mercy, sir. No, Cobra Kai's brainwashed you. Come on, I want you to really think about it. Don't be a pussy. And I'm not sure what he didn't ever reveal what the ultimate purpose is, but it was funny.
Be nice.
Be a nice guy. Okay, what about notes?
think we've covered all of my notes, talked about all of them. So I'm good.
There I should be. Yeah, I think I'm pretty much done too. gosh, well, we did a good job of coverage here.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. There was a theme of whether people can change, like Johnny defending Kreese to the ex-Cobra Kai guys. You know, everybody, people can change, and he's trying to change Cobra Kai. And Daniel, too, telling the kids that he was a Cobra Kai, but he changed, and that's why they should allow these other Cobra Kai into the Miyagi-Do, because they can change, too. I mean, the part that's sad is, like we said, Johnny is saying people can change, but we can see that Kreese hasn't. So maybe the message is sometimes you can, but not always.
Mm.
Tori, we didn't talk at all about Tori and Miguel, you know, and Miguel's creating this website for Amanda or Samantha. And Tori says, she's got swingers logic. You have to act like you're totally over her, like you don't care. Then she'll want you back.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
Oh man, Tori, she's a wet dream.
I don't know pretty if that answers my question, but
pretty much what every guy wants, right? And a girl.
I felt bad for her a little bit. She, you know, I mean, I think she kind of went out in the end, but I felt really bad during that scene when Miguel's making that little video or whatever it was that he was doing of him and Sam to try and win her back. And, you know, she's trying to engage him in some conversation and trying to kind of flirt, but not making it like overtly obvious that she's trying to flirt. And when she, you know, she's watching the little video and she smiles when his picture comes up and then her face falls when she sees Sam's. And I was just like, oh girl, I have been there too. I could relate to that moment, but I felt bad for her in that. You know, and it was kind of nice to see, you know, Miguel kind of, I don't know that she's the greatest influence on him, because I don't know if he is kind of turning just a little bit, but, you know, I kind of see where she's at. She's had a rough life. So it's kind of given her a little bit of a chip on her shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a feeling that she's not coming back though. Does you guys get the feeling she's like a temporary character? I don't know.
No. I don't know.
I can't remember what happens.
She dies. No, I'm just, I don't know.
Dope.
Spoiler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, what I was kind of curious about is what you thought about her advice that you have to act like you're over her and you don't care and then she'll want you back. And what I think about that is that's kind of a gimmick and I don't approve of that. But I do think she's right that desperation isn't.
She's right about the desperation.
Yeah. And so
desperation
that
is not attractive.
If there's any chance for Miguel to get Samantha back, he has to get right with himself first and get to a place where he can accept, you know, I'll be okay if we don't get back together. So I'm going to go tell her, hey, I would like to, but not be like desperate about it.
Yeah. Know? It sounds like a game you play when you're a teenager. I don't think it would work on adults.
Yeah. I mean, they're only 16, right?
Yeah,
like 16, almost
17. I mean, an adult would be like, oh, he's a jerk, he's not calling on, moving on.
But now they're a couple, I guess. And I thought, you know, the chemistry isn't quite there for me. It's not totally not there, but I don't know.
Yeah, it seems slightly forced,
a little forced.
I don't really get it either between them two, but
he's a little effeminate for her. I feel like she needs more of a
like Hawk.
I don't know. Yeah. No, just like a big a beefy guy or something, you know. I don't know. She needs one of those True Blood werewolves or something.
Maybe she'll hook up with Kreese.
Joe Manganiello.
Kreese. Oh,
God.
Jesus. Well, I'm not going to be able to sleep.
more notes. So you mentioned He-Man earlier, and man, I just suddenly dawned on me that I think Robbie's haircut looks just like He-Man's, and now I can't get it out of my head.
Oh God, terrible!
He looks like
and
Prince
he had
Adam.
A man bun in his driver's license picture. Ugh.
Yeah, that Robbie made a he made a good decision in this show.
Yeah.
He made a good, informed decision. We were watching it, and my wife's like, look at Robbie making good, informed decisions. How boring.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because they put those two scenes together, right? Tori tells Miguel, make a move, basically. I mean, I don't think she was very subtle. And so they're kissing, and then it goes over to Robbie and Samantha goes in for the kiss. And you could tell Robbie was thinking about it, but he stopped himself and said, hey, I've had, bad things for a long time, and I don't want to ruin this, your dad, like I'm living here with your dad, And Samantha seemed pretty upset, understandably, but hopefully she'll be all right. I mean, she did say, I think the next day, oh, it's okay, nothing happened. Let's not make it uncomfortable, but you can tell she's not happy about it still.
Yeah.
So it's a tough situation.
Never feels good getting rejected.
No, right. I know. Yeah. I think Miguel's mom is attracted to bad boys that she thinks she can fix. Because
like Johnny?
Johnny shows up drunk and she's like, oh, come here. I mean, some women might just be like, oh, get away from this guy.
I don't know if I'd let him in my house that way.
Right. He's like, we're going to your place. The only Yelp review so far for Cobra Kai is Dimitri's 1-star review. So Cobra Kai has 1 star on Yelp right now.
Just the one. That sucks.
I didn't like that Sam and Robbie were smirking at Dimitri for liking comics. Come on, don't be assholes. Comics are awesome.
But it was like isn't he cute smirk?
Yeah, whatever. It's condescending. I like Anoush mentions to Johnny that he owes him a new pair of Oxfords. That's because Johnny shit on the billboard and then Anoush stepped in it last season.
Yeah. I don't think it was Johnny that did it.
Oh, really? I don't remember. I thought did he leave it up there or something?
Well,
he painted the penis, and then when Anoush went to clean it off, he stepped in shit.
There's a dog up there.
But I know when his cousin Louis said, oh, you just stepped in dog shit. And he's like, how the hell would a dog get up here? But I mean,
yeah, I think Johnny did it.
I don't know.
Because that's why Johnny says he owes him new shoes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Johnny took a dump. Yeah.
He says he owes Johnny owes him new shoes. I liked when Dimitri said, I'd be careful letting Cobra Kai in. It's like letting the wildlings behind the wall. And Daniel goes, didn't the wildlings help Jon Snow in the Battle of the Bastards?
Big Game of Thrones spoilers in this episode, if you hadn't watched,
right,
by the way.
Right. And then, I guess we already talked about that one. Yeah, that's all I got.
Cool. I just thought of something. Mm. How the Cobra Kai kids went over and destroyed Miyagi-Do. And then they painted the Cobra Kai Never Dies on the side of his car. That's dumb. Why would you leave your calling card on the side of a car?
Advertisements.
Just put a giant arrow, right? It's like, hey, we did it. No need to try and figure it out. We'll tell you.
Dumb kid.
Yep.
Dumb move. If you're going to put Cobra Kai Never Dies, at least also put the phone number down so it'll be like an ad.
And a picture of your mohawk.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that was fun.
Right, let's take a little break. There's more to come. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's time for some news. News?
All right. Yeah. Well, I've got one this week. This is from CBR.com. So with the first 2 seasons of Cobra Kai now on Netflix and a third season on the way for a 2021 premiere, John Hurwitz, he's one of the co-creators of the show, has confirmed he and the other creators have discussed possible spinoffs that could feature either characters from the classic film trilogy or new characters introduced in Cobra Kai to have their own set of adventures. So he says, we have put thought into spinoff ideas. We just love the Karate Kid universe, love all the characters from back in the day, and we love the characters we've created. It's hard for me to give you an exact answer to this, but what I can say is that we have a list of at least 5 different scenarios that we would pursue, that we would consider, is what he teased. He says some of them are untraditional, some of them are unlike any kind of spinoff you've ever seen before, but every time we're writing episodes of the show, we're falling in love with the characters that we're creating and examining characters from the past. Within the world of Cobra Kai, there are certain things you can explore and certain things that don't fit into that particular box. But there may be opportunities down the road to break out one of those characters, get to know them better, or explore different times in characters' lives.
What?
You guys, what do you think about that? I was waiting to hear your opinion.
I think it sounds horrible. What is it going to be? Hawk and Kreese go on a road trip or something?
Jumping on their Harleys.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, hey, whatever it is, we'll have to see if it's any good, but it sounds like a bad idea to me, and that things get watered down and thinned out and overdone. You know, it's like when Guitar Hero came out and suddenly they just did like 1,000 Guitar Hero games, and then it totally burnt everybody out on it. So I don't know. What do you think, Rich?
I don't know. I'm kind of the same mind.
All I could think was
the, I don't have the energy to tackle it.
Yeah. All I could think was like all the spinoffs they're trying to do of like The Walking Dead.
Right.
And how they keep spinning off into different series and different characters and moving characters around. And so I don't know.
Yeah, I guess you could make like Dimitri a badass. Yeah. Have a little show about him.
Bulk him up. Oh, God.
Be the most annoying badass ever.
No, please. I think ever since the Marvel Cinematic Universe was so successful, everybody has dreams of building their own universes around their characters. They were trying to do that with the monster movies, you know, with the Universal Monsters, like. But then The Mummy came out, and I guess it was no good. I didn't see it.
I wonder if it had something to do. Yeah, that was really good. I wonder if it had something to do with their move to Netflix, and if, you know, Netflix is kind of giving them ideas or hope for, you know, more shows, you know, and seeing as how popular Cobra Kai has. It's funny because I keep seeing all these headlines now that it's moved over to Netflix, like the little unknown show. You know, that is like now number one. And I'm like, what do you mean? It had great viewership on YouTube.
Like 100 million like, views or something.
Nobody didn't know what this was. Everybody didn't know how good it was. But,
did you know there was a movie called Karate Kid? It was great.
Yeah. It's like, God, people.
I mean, I would totally love to eat my words and have a great spinoff come out and be wrong. That'd be cool. So whatever. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, there's a timing factor, I mean.
Yeah, well, and maybe nothing will happen. I mean, right now it's just all talk. There's certainly, there's no scripts, there's no production, there's, you know, there isn't anything yet. It sounds like it's they have these ideas, but, you know.
Yeah, there's something to be said for leaving, you know, leaving people wanting a little more.
Yeah,
coming back
absolutely.
A couple years later, maybe. Yeah,
yeah. Yep. I mean, I'm already nervous that this show is not going to be able to maintain its quality, and so I hope it does, but just the thought of trying to expand it out like that is like, really? But we'll see. I also want to mention, you know, with Cobra Kai in the news, like I've been talking about now that it's on Netflix, there's some good, the actors are doing press and there's good stuff coming out. And I posted a really good interview with William Zabka, who plays Johnny, on our Facebook page. And I also posted, I think it's Variety, they do these videos where actors walk you through their career in like 15 minutes, and Ralph Macchio did one, and I thought, well, he hasn't had much of a career, has he? He hasn't done that many movies, but it was at, you know, The Outsiders, and there was a bunch of things I didn't know about, and he was great, so that's really cool too. So if you guys want to check those out, you know, you can search for them on YouTube, or if you go to facebook.com/housepodcastica, I posted them up there too. All right, let's get into some listener feedback.
Okay. First one we have is from Barry Evitz. He says, great couple of episodes. Was good to hear that Johnny's friends also realized that Kreese was a creep. Just have to ask, is anyone else thinking that Tori with a Y is going to end up being the daughter of Allie with an I?
Ho!
No, I don't think so.
Never thought about that.
She doesn't live there. And she was talking about like how poor she was.
Yeah.
And I don't.
Doesn't seem to match up.
Yeah.
I don't know. People lie about their profile on Facebook.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, right.
Maybe
that could totally be bullshit. You're right. Yeah.
It's true.
I hope we find out. I don't know if we've been talking openly about this. Hopefully people won't mind, but at least for one episode, maybe more, Daniel's going to Okinawa next season. And so I presume that means we're getting a lot of Karate Kid 2 characters back. You know, I think they wouldn't go there unless they were going to bring back some characters, which then makes me think, oh, does that mean no Allie? So I don't know. We'll see.
Right. Yeah. I was wondering that too. Gemma Hall writes, episode 5. I loved the fight in the mall. Right on. I liked how Sam and Robbie came in from nowhere and protected Dimitri and even saved his chicken. Hawk is such a bully. Hate that kid. Also, destroying Miyagi-Do is not cool. I just wish there was more fight from Dimitri. I'm like, come on, kid, go for it. I love all the episodes, and this one was great for the big mall scene. Episode 6 got me emotional. It was great to see life from Johnny's thug friend's point of view. They were just normal guys and old buddies, and they totally kicked butt in the bar. So sad for Johnny to lose his friend. Also, watch out for Kreese, the old snake.
That's a good way to describe him. Steve Brown says, really cool couple of episodes. I sent a voicemail and did not mention the quick interaction between Johnny and his friends regarding Kreese. It was great to see that for the most part, they all realized too late that he was messing them up. Probably when he started beating them up, then they realized it.
No kidding. Dublino Bob Grippy says, who is the most hateable character, Robbie or Dimitri?
Okay, wait. Don't say. What? I'll count to three and then we'll say who's the most hateable. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Dimitri. Robbie.
Dimitri.
Oh, interesting.
It's the hair.
He-Man.
Alicia Stout writes, yeah, Hawk is a punk and I want to smack him, lol.
Right. Mary Kay Beater Venkman Owen says, oh my god, the body bag visual callback during a serious scene was the most hilariously macabre thing I may have ever seen on television. I actually couldn't stop laughing. I might have hurt myself. This is what made me I read that and I was like, oh shit.
Right. Yeah, that it was kind of macabre, huh?
Yeah, that is dark, man. Get him a body bag. All right, and here is the call from Steve Brown.
Hello, House Podcastica. This is Steve. This is for episodes 5 and 6 of Cobra Kai season 2. And, you know, it's really a good season so far. I know there were some people who were saying that they, at the end of it, I guess, it wasn't very good. I mean, I know there are some things that are like tropes maybe that in our callbacks to the first season, but I'll give you my top three from these two episodes, I guess, or, you know, in some notes, because that fight in the mall, it's a little, you know, it's a little far-fetched. It's definitely a karate movie, kung fu movie kind of thing to have a fight break out in the middle of the food court there in the mall. I thought that was really great. And, you know, nobody's recording it on their phones. No security is coming, but, it was fun to watch. And, you know, the Cobra Kai's got some licks in there, man. They landed some punches, landed some kicks, but ultimately Sam and Robbie using the whole wheel technique and protecting Dimitri, did win the day. And and it's exactly what, was it 2 or 3 episodes ago when Robbie said something about, or Sam, I can't remember, one of them said something about just go to the mall and pick a fight. You know, I thought that actually came to fruition there. And then, you know, episode 6 is all about the nostalgia of the older actors coming back in and playing the same parts and seeing them all fight together. And then the tragedy of one of them passing away. And I know from what I read in IMDb that that actor who played actually did pass away. So it was very touching. And so I'm enjoying this season so far, and I'm excited to see where it goes. You know, it's too bad there's only 3-4 episodes left, and then we have to wait until next year for season 3. Okay, talk to you later.
Yeah. Well, he sounds a lot more excited about the season than when he first called in.
He is.
That's true, yeah.
He was kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, he didn't even know if he was going to keep watching.
Yeah. Just take some time.
He mentioned that that season 3 is not coming out till next year. That reminded me that it was announced that The Mandalorian will be back October 30th.
Woot, 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 yeah. Woot.
So that's
like
cool.
That show.
Yeah, we'll be covering that. So they didn't leave it to the very last day of the month, but pretty damn close.
Right, yeah.
All right, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. If you want to write in or record a message and send it in, which I dare you to do because we'd love to hear some of your voices, you can send that to waxonwaxoff@podcastica.com.
We also put up a post for each week's episode on our Facebook page at facebook.com/housepodcastica.
And be sure to check out the other great podcasts at podcastica.com.
Yeah, we just did Silence of the Lambs on Walking Dead cast. That was pretty cool. Go back and revisit that one.
It's the lotion in the basket.
Pretty damn creepy.
Yeah, it was cool. It held up.
That's great. Yeah. Classic.
Next episode of this podcast is Cobra Kai Season 2, Episodes 7 and 8, Lull, which I think is a horrible name for an episode of TV, and Glory of Love.
You mean like LOL?
Lol? No, like L-U-L-L, like a lull in the action, maybe?
Oh, like
I don't
lull,
know.
Okay, yeah.
Like no fighting in this one, maybe?
What? Yeah.
No good.
Like Chevrolet calling their car a Nova.
Exactly. So that should be good. All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
Get him a body bag.